Welcome back, everyone, to the front line with Joe and Joe. Joe Pasillo and Joe Resinello.
Oh, you're exactly right, Joe.
We work for the man upstairs, as you do.
You're setting me up quite well. You just gave me an alley-oop.
The greatest revolutionary act you can commit right now is to open your mouth and speak the truth.
Whether you're an academic or you're a regular guy, we have to be fearless.
And once more, dear brothers and sisters, let us go into the breach. Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the front line with Joe and Joe. Joe Pasillo, as always, joined by Joe Resinello. And once more, dear brothers and sisters, let us go in to the breach on the Veritas Catholic Radio Network, 1350 on your AM dial, 103.9 on your FM dial, serving the New York City metropolitan area. Please be sure to download the Veritas Catholic Radio Network mobile app so that you could have access to all of our station's content, not just Frontline with Joe and Joe, but all of our programming. Of course, if you'd like to give some feedback, I've been letting you know every show, VeritasCatholic.com, VeritasCatholic.com. In the About section, you'll see a place where you can let us know what you think of us, good, bad, or indifferent. We'd love to hear from you. And you please support Joe and I on social media. Two primary places to find us is YouTube at the Frontline TV, the Frontline TV. Like, subscribe, share, hit the little bell, do all that fun stuff. And our website, thefrontlinetv.com, thefrontlinetv.com. And today, we are very pleased and honored to be welcomed into the program, Paul Nelson. And Paul's recent book is Restoring Our Catholic Identity. Joe Resinello, I think that's an important topic, don't you?
It's right up our alley.
And that's Paul's recent book. And for those of you who are not familiar with Paul, a brief introduction. In his professional life, Paul was a court reporter. He spent 14 years working in the state and federal court, but then moved to D.C. to join the Corps of Congressional Committee reporters in the United States House of Representatives. After a year, Paul transferred to the other side of the U.S. Capitol to work as an official reporter of debates for the U.S. Senate, where he spent the next 27 years. He was honored to make the official record of many events of historical importance, such as the inaugural address of President George W. Bush, the William Jefferson Clinton impeachment trial, among many others. He was in the midst of some very consequential debates over the years, such as those in the aftermath of the 9/11 attacks on our country. Paul and his wife, Nancy, now reside in Williamsburg, Virginia. Paul Nelson, welcome to the front line with Joe and Joe.
I'm so honored to be here, gentlemen, and I'm having a technical difficulty here. I can't see you right now. I don't know what happened.
It's probably a good thing. It's okay. Yeah. We could hear you, and we could see you.
Okay, good.
Paul, all right, we always Joe, where do you want to get it?
Yeah, we'll begin with a prayer, Paul, because we always start with the prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, never was it known that anyone who sought your help or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly into you, a virgin, a virgin's our mother. To you we come, before you we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother, the Word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in your clemency hear and answer us. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I always like to begin the conversation with something personal because it just kind of like, you know, let us get like familiar with each other. We were talking earlier. You said you were from Youngstown, Ohio. Now you live obviously in Virginia and you worked as a court reporter. I mean, then now here you are, you're writing books. You're a Catholic lay evangelist, talking to people like ourselves, Jesse Romero, Kevin Wells. How'd it happen?
Well, I'll tell you, I became Catholic back in Youngstown when I was 16, when I was dating a girl, Nancy, who is now my wife. She took me to church and I decided to take classes. They didn't have RCIA like they do now back then. So my younger brother and I, we sat with the priest once a week for about 3 months, and that was our catechesis. And actually, I didn't learn much from that, but I was baptized, became a Catholic. And fast forward a little bit, Nancy and I got married a few years, 5 years later. And then, you know, we went to Catholic church and everything. And all the whole time I was going, I didn't understand the doctrines really. So after that, we started to have children, and then they started to grow up in the church. Well, there came a point later on when Nancy and I moved to Virginia. I joined the Corps of Reporters at the House of Representatives. It was a debate reporter. I mean, a committee reporter there. And a year later, I joined the United States Senate, where I spent the rest of my career. And during that time, I started to get interested in motivational type books, tapes, and so forth. I read them like some people would read the Bible, I guess, but I started to drift from church. We would go to mass and my mind was elsewhere. I remember there was a priest that I called him Father Monotone. He put me to sleep, you know, and I said, I can't do this. This is something. Well, in the meantime, my wife was going with a friend to a like a Bible study type thing at a Baptist church. They invited us to come and, join them and see if we liked what they did. So we did. And I don't want to get too much into detail with it, but, you know, they were standing up and clapping and singing, and they were just really, really enjoying what they're doing. And it's being that I was into motivational materials, I said, well, this isn't a place for me, you know, not realizing that I would be walking away from, you know, the true church. So we did for a while. We left the Catholic Church. We went to this Baptist church, and we were in a Bible study there. Okay. And at the end of the sessions, they would say, let's pray for this person or that person or this situation in the world or something like that. And one gentleman, he stood up and he said, let's pray for the Catholics because they think they're Christians and they really aren't.
Wow.
You know, and I squeezed Nancy's hand and we looked at each other like, what's going on here? You know, did we go to a church all those years that really wasn't Christian? So we went home that night. I couldn't sleep. I tell this story in detail in my first book, which I call Christians Must Reunite. Now is the time. But I got up that night because I couldn't sleep, and I'm thinking, you know, what should I do here? So I prayed a little bit and I read the Bible. And then I just sat there because I knew I couldn't go to sleep. So I just sat there, and into my mind came the words, study the Catholic Church. And I'm like, study the Catholic Church. And I thought to myself, well, I never thought about doing that. And to this day, I honestly feel like that was the Holy Spirit giving me a message. Nobody can convince me differently. So anyway, I did just that. I started buying books by Catholic authors. I started buying books by Protestant authors because I wanted to see both sides. And I delved into the Bible a lot more. Well, it came to me, really, that it was so clear that every time there was a question to be answered, the Catholic side of things always answered the questions to my, you know, satisfaction. So it finally reached the point where I said to Nancy, I said, we have to go back to the Catholic Church. I said, we made a mistake here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we did. And ever since that day, many years ago, I have a whole library. You know, I mean, you can find books on anything Catholic in my library. I try to learn all I can about it. And I still need to know a lot, I'm sure, you know, but I'm trying. I'm doing the best I can. And I feel like my job is to learn and pass on what I've learned. And that was the genesis of my first book, Christians Must Reunite Now is the Time, which is a book that it's for Catholics who never really learned their faith, like I was when I was younger. Somebody who wants to brush up on the Catholic faith should have this in their library that they can refer to.
And the current book, real quick, is Restoring Our Catholic Identity. That's your most recent book, okay?
That is.
All right, and we're gonna continue that conversation. Is it also, Paul, that the name of your website is Christians Must Reunite? That's your website also?
Yeah, .com, yeah.
So Christians Must Reunite. Well, let's stay on that then for a second, Paul, if that's okay. Joe and I are of the opinion that, you know, we want to be friends first and foremost with those who are, let's say, are not Catholic. We are not judgmental. People are where they are. But we, at the end of the day, we cannot say anybody who calls themselves a follower of Jesus Christ cannot even pretend for a second, excuse me, that Christianity in the world is united. It is not. It has been marked by division going back 1,000 years to the schism and 500 years to the Protestant revolt. Okay. Talk about that notion. Christians must reunite. And why particularly, Paul Nelson, at this moment in history?
Well, as we all know, things are dire in the world. I mean, things have always been bad. The church has always been, people have always tried to bring down the church for many, many years, but I think it's worse now than ever in our history. And what I mean by Christians must reunite, that what I was going to say back there is that book is for we Catholics. We all have Protestants in our lives that are wonderful Christians or good people. I have them in my family, friends of mine, and I've given them the book. I said, please read this book. And I make my case in that first book that Catholic Church is really the church that Christ started, and, you know, it was, and why we should not have separated, why the Protestants should not have separated. Now, many Protestants, they've grown up that way and they know no different. But if they read my book and they read the scripture, I have a lot of scriptural references in there. and I have some stories. And I have I finished the book basically with a story of a conversion that I had a part in. And that person was a staunch Protestant, but I was able to show him what I think is the truth and everything, and he accepted that eventually. It took a while, but he did. So my book is good for them, for Protestants to read and to double check what I say, my references and so forth. And I believe they will reunite, as in my title, with the Catholic Church. That's the goal. We need to reunite back to Jesus Christ's original church.
It's funny, as you were telling that story, I have a similar story. A friend of mine, a guy I used to go to Catholic Church with, he left. And he went to, for a while, this non-denominational church. So he invited me to a Bible study. It was men. And I went there with the intent, because I always knew that many people who aren't in the Catholic Church have these misconceptions about the church. So I went there with the intent to basically evangelize them, to basically, at that time, I was fairly well-read in the faith, and I could definitely defend like a lot of the, you know, the big ones that they'll throw at you, like we worship saints, you know, we worship Mary, blah, 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 blah. So like I went there and To be honest, I don't think I necessarily convinced anyone, but I think there came to a point they respected me. They respected my opinion, because I have heard, when you said that in that story, I have heard the same thing. We are not Christian. I have actually heard that from like different denominations, like Catholics are not Christian. That, to be honest with you, I mean, I don't want to sound like an arrogant snob, that is such an ignorant statement. Like, it's actually like, I mean, I don't want to come across that way, but that is such an ignorant statement. If you really explore it, to be honest with you, you just demolish the conversation. Talk about that, because your encounter with those, because I have been in those type of Bible studies. And what I have found is a lot of those people have a personal issue with the church. They're divorced, they got remarried, they obviously know they can't, the church doesn't recognize their marriage, and we can go on and on and on and on. You know, like, and then that manifests itself. Some are very sincere, but there's like, as I got to know some of them, there are, I kind of identified little things that could potentially have driven them away. What was your experience?
Well, you mentioned a few things there. My my book actually refutes the myths that are out there, that my first book. And that was another big thing that I felt needed to be done. You mentioned, you know, we pray to Mary, we pray to the saints, you know, and various things like that. I give short, clear explanations, you know, according to the doctrines of the church. Now, what I wrote in that book is all from the church. And, you know, I don't, well, I guess a little bit of my opinion gets in there now and then, but it's to refute those things. And, you know, there's so many people out there that have the wrong idea of what the church is. And, you know, Fulton Sheen actually had a quote, something about that. And, you know, there are, you know, so many people who believe that the Catholic Church, what was it?
I think he said to paraphrase, there are a million people out there, something like, there's a million people who hate what they think the church is, but you won't find one who hates the church for what it actually is. Something yes. Along the, again, you're talking about Paul Nelson joining us here at the front line with Joe and Joe. Misconceptions. Now, we're going to talk about the undercatechized in the Catholic Church in a second, but please continue.
Well, that, you know, that was basically my purpose in that book. And I, whenever people have questions for me, I like to be able to have a short, clear answer for them. And Christians Must Reunite Now is the Time can be a book where, if you're approached by a Protestant and they say to you, why is this, why is that, or the other thing, you can pull that book down if you don't know the answer, find it in the book, and it gives that clear, direct answer. And I don't pull any punches. I say it how it is. You know, I mean, there is a hell. You know, I mean, it's unbelievable how many people think that there really is not a hell. You know, so I explained about that in Scripture, where Christ himself talks about it. So there are so many misconceptions and so many wrong ideas about what the true church is. And, you know, I feel like, you know, got people like you, Kevin Wells, you mentioned him, Jesse Romero, you know, our job is to straighten things out regarding the church and to invite people back in. And you made the point a while ago, don't be nasty about it. Don't be condescending about it, because let's face it, you know, most people that aren't Catholic, but they're Christians, they call themselves Christians, and they are, but they just don't have everything. They don't have what they need in the Eucharist and the sacraments, and they have a a skewed idea of what the sacraments are.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, Paul Nelson's joining us here at the front line with Joe and Joe. Joe Pasillo, Joe Rasinello. We are discussing his recent book, Restoring Our Catholic Identity. Let's get into reuniting Catholics for a second, Paul, because let's face it, you know, Christianity, worldwide Christianity is not united, okay? But then again, let's just keep it with America for a second. American Catholicism is not united. Now, Joe and I say on the show all the time, I don't want to be called a trad, a conservative, a liberal. I don't want anything before the true identity of who I am, which is Roman Catholic. That's what it is. It's kind of like when C.S. Lewis wrote Mere Christianity, merely what Christianity is about. I'm Catholic. That's it. I'm not interested in your camp. I'm not interested in your club. Okay. Now, if you watch the internet, and Joe and I have interviewed a lot of people we know and have met and through, you know, through in our travels, a lot of people who fall into these different camps. Paul, I'd love for you to talk about reuniting Catholics in America and stop with this. I don't even know if you want to. I'm not trying to suggest that these questions that arise are not important, but they've become the source of some deep divisions where people, especially Catholics, do not want to break bread at the same table. Talk about that and that being a major problem. Before, we could go out and tell Protestants they should be united with us when we can't get our own house in order. I know that was long-winded, Paul Nelson, but please address that.
I understand what you're saying, and I often think to myself, you hear about trads and you hear about Novus Ordo and the Latin Mass, and you know, we're all Catholics, okay? We don't need to be at each other like that. And I often think to myself, and I see stuff like you said on social media, Facebook or whatever, you know, downing the who have become called trads. You know, I hate these labels even. Like you said, we're Roman Catholics. And some people go to the Latin Mass. Some people go to the Novus Ordo. Basically, the Novus Ordo was foisted upon us after Vatican II. Okay, so I'm not saying it's evil or I'm not going to denigrate it, because you have many, many very devout Catholics that attend Novus Ordo Masses. They don't have an alternative. They don't have a close Latin Mass if they wanted to attend one. I prefer the Latin Mass, even though the first one I went to was about 4 years ago. See, so mm-hmm. I never knew much about it. Now I'm still learning about it. I prefer that, but I also have been to some wonderful, great, reverent Novus Ordo Masses. So I wish the fight on that would stop. I mean, I'm of the opinion that we need to, and this goes to my second book, Restoring Our Catholic Identity. We need to go back a few steps and bring back some of the old things in order to balance things out. And we can talk more about that in detail if you want. But if you have any questions with that regard, I'm happy to answer those.
I think that was a very balanced response, Paul. And I am of the same mind as you, actually, in the sense that, like, you know, people have to stop bickering. I think a lot of it is pride. People want to be right. And I think a guiding principle is the church decides. Like, the church decides. The church has authority. That's why you said it is the true church, because Christ gave it authority. It's not my church. It's not Joe's church. It's not your church. The church decides. And people struggle with that. Even under labels, under guy, like all types of things, it's pride. I've thought about this, and I want to throw it to you both. And, you know, being that we're, you know, getting close to Easter, Judas betrayed Jesus. We all know this, but it wasn't because he didn't love him. He stopped believing in his method. he didn't believe, I've been meditating on this, in Jesus's method to bringing the kingdom on earth. And that's why he betrayed him. Many people do the same thing. We've lost faith in the method, which is the Beatitudes of Jesus Christ. Christ came into Jerusalem on a donkey. He didn't come on a Sherman tank. We have to trust the method. And look where it got Judas. He's in hell. He lost faith. And I want to throw that to you. It's not that he necessarily didn't believe in, he saw the miracles. He loved him. He just stopped believing. Your way doesn't work, dude. I'm going in an opposite direction.
Paul, we love your comments on that.
Well, all I can say is it's really a mystery how some people lose their faith once they had it. I don't understand how that works, but evidently it happens. I believe that some people in the church are more self-centered. Okay, we've become very much self-centered in that we are caught up in the world and in the worldly things. Goods, and, you know, I mean, we're fat and happy. And sometimes when that happens, you think, well, what do I need God for? I mean, I have everything I need. I don't understand the loss of faith with people. It's very shallow. They're thinking of here and now in this world, and they're not thinking of their soul and eternity. And that's what we need to focus on. And, you know, I mean, basically.
Well, didn't Jesus, Paul Nelson joining us at the front line with Joe and Joe, didn't Jesus rebuke Peter for that?
Didn't
he rebuke him? It's exactly what you just said. And listen, to use a label, even though I said I don't like it, conservative Catholics in America, let's say, politically conservative Catholics, and I know I'm not judging them because I've fallen into that same trap sometimes, and we got to be careful of that. No, don't tell Jesus what Jesus is going to do. He's not going to be King David and throw off the Roman Empire if that's what you're waiting for, okay? And what does Jesus say to him? Get thee behind me, Satan, okay? We have to stop this in America. Now, look, the left, I'm sorry, but not so. The left is off the rails, okay? They've become the party of insanity. So we can't even speak of them. I'm sorry. I can't be charitable in any way towards them, given all the things that they push. We're talking about reasonable people. Let's say liberal, somebody who might identify as a liberal American, a conservative American. But the problem for Catholics is we're looking for political messiahs. That's why I brought up Peter. Go ahead, Paul. We have a minute before the break. Go ahead.
Okay. What I say about that is we think too much politically today instead of things of God. We tend to do the things, conduct our lives not based on God, but based on political philosophies. And this is what we need to stop.
Okay, well, let's leave it there for a second. This is a great conversation, and that's why we're happy that Paul Nelson has decided to join us here at the front line with Joe and Joe on the Veritas Catholic Radio Network, 1350 on your AM dial, 103.9 on your FM dial. Paul's recent book, Restoring Our Catholic Identity. Let's all get it through our heads. Our identity is Roman Catholic, then everything else. Paul, real quick before the break, where could folks buy your book and find more about you?
They can go on Amazon.com. They can get it from Barnes & Noble online or in the store. Church Militant carries it in their bookstore. They can go to my website, ChristiansMustReunite.com, and you can start the ordering process from there.
Awesome. And we would encourage everyone to go out there and buy the book because, like the title says, we need to restore our Catholic identity. Stick around. We have another half hour with Paul Nelson. We'll be right back.
Hey, Listen to all five of our original Veritas shows. Every Wednesday at noon, you can catch Let Me Be Frank, where Bishop Frank Caggiano talks about spirituality, church news, and fun stories from his Brooklyn childhood and his life. You can hear The Frontline with Joe and Joe every Tuesday and Thursday at noon. Their guests include the biggest names in the Catholic world, and Joe and Joe talk to them from the perspective of the everyday Catholic. Thursday nights at 8 o'clock, tune in for the only late-night talk show on Catholic media anywhere. It's Not That Late with Liv Harrison. And at noon on Friday is Restless. It's four millennials talking about, well, life as millennials in today's crazy world. Yes, it's possible to be young and Catholic. Right after that, at 12:30, you can hear The Focus on Veritas, where we put the focus on good works and the good people doing those works. Those are the five Veritas shows, and there's more on the way. Stay up to date at veritascatholic.com or on the mobile app.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Frontline with Joe and Joe, Joe Pasillo and Joe Racinello, and we are way in the breach with Paul Nelson. We're discussing his new book, Restoring Our Catholic Identity, available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And with that, I'm going to hand it right over to Joe Racinello so we could dive right back into the conversation.
Obviously, we're talking about restoring our Catholic identity, and we talked about St. Peter. Obviously, he was our first pope. I want to talk a little bit about Catholics who have left the church, because I think that's important, and then also talk about the true idea of ecumenicalism and get your thoughts on that, Paul. Catholics that leave the church, I think at the root of it, we don't understand the fundamental idea of the sacraments. I mean, there's always been problems in the church from the very beginning. But the sacraments are here. I am Catholic because of the sacraments, not because of the priests. Obviously, we need priests. I love priests. There's many good ones. I love them. Bishops, many good ones. But I'm Catholic because of the sacraments. And a Catholic that leaves doesn't understand that. That's why I'll always be Catholic. And to quote St. Peter, why I brought him into this, is he says, to where will we go, Lord? You see, that's my response. There's nowhere to go. The church has the formula for salvation. And when you leave, there has to be, like, you could use Luther. He didn't get it. There's no sacraments outside of the church. If you're not in apostolic succession with the Pope, you're not getting the sacraments. Talk about that, because anyone who leaves, yeah, there could be problems and you have to work through them. But at the same time, the church is the church. Sacraments are the sacraments, and there's nowhere else to go.
Yeah. And that's directly the fault of the leaders of the church. I'll say, you know, I keep referring to Vatican II, but I mean, a lot of damage was done after Vatican II. And one of the things was the teaching, the catechesis was watered way down. And so people didn't learn the true sacraments, what they were, what they stood for. I mean, you know, that you know about that Pew Research study on belief in the real presence. I'm sure you've heard of that.
Mm-hmm. Joe quotes it all the time on the show. It's a terrible, saddening stat. Go ahead, Paul.
70% don't believe in the real presence. I mean, my gosh, please. That's just crazy. That just goes to show you people have not been taught. You know, and you know, that's my first book was for that reason. But you know, I feel like people need the moving over to my second book, Restoring Our Catholic Identity. I feel like people need to know how we went wrong and who was responsible for some of these things and how we can correct it and revert back to some of the things that really made us Catholic. And, you know, we're not just another of the Protestant 30,000, 40,000 denominations out there. We are the true church. So that's why I wrote that second book. Okay. And I tried to lay out where we've gone wrong. You know, I mean, first of all, the changes in the Mass were unbelievable. Some of them I don't have that big a problem with. Like I say, you can go to a Novus Ordo Mass, and I do once in a while, and it's a nice reverent Mass. But you can go to others that you say, is this a Catholic church? You know, and I tell a story about that in the book. But anyway, the changes in the Mass, you know, the first thing they start doing is taking out the altar rails from the churches and giving communion in the hand, okay, which to this day, to my knowledge, has never really been sanctioned as the way to receive, okay? Mm-hmm. I'd be wrong on that, but I know it's allowed. Okay, and I know it's tolerated, but you and I both know that most people receive communion in the hand now, unless you go to a Latin Mass church, you know, then everybody kneels down at the rail and receives on the tongue. Personally, I believe we all need to go back to that. We need to receive our Lord reverently on the tongue given to you by a priest.
Paul Nelson, real quick, it seems to me that what you're saying begs the question then. Would you think that you just mentioned, let's say, for argument's sake, the lack of belief in the real presence. So you can't separate those two then. Because I think, if I don't know this, but I bet amongst that 30% of those who believe in the true presence, I bet you a very, very few people, all right, on their own, would choose to receive in the hand. Okay. I think the two are tied together. If in fact you had the proper catechesis on the Eucharist, okay, and enlightened people raised their consciousness as to who that is on the altar, it's not a cracker, it's not a wafer, that's mm-hmm. actually Jesus, okay, then that number would shrink. Independent of anything coming from the Vatican, that number of people who will get on their knees or receive on the tongue or both, okay, would increase given, I think, a proper formation on the teaching of the Eucharist. What say you on that?
Yeah, well, it all comes back to teaching the people. We need to reteach now. We need to come back, first of all, and our friend Kevin Wells wrote a wonderful book about the priests we need to save the church. Our priests need to become more reverent. They need to have a desire to teach the laity and to make things more reverent at their particular churches. I mean, you know, the pastors at churches, they have a lot of leeway themselves, it seems, and bishops are all over the place. That's really where it needs to come from, the bishops, but I don't look for that anytime soon based on the situation and the bishops that we now have. But we need to learn. People need to learn. And once they know, you know, if you don't believe in a real presence, you know, you receive in the hand like that, and it's just you half-heartedly bow, and really, it's a sad thing to watch. And many times I just close my eyes and pray.
Paul, I want to hand it over to Joe, but I would say this, okay? Up until about maybe 4 or 5 years ago, this mm-hmm. is why I I am not saying this about you. I know that you're not a judgmental guy, and I don't judge either for the simple. I was the guy wearing shorts at Mass. I was the guy receiving in the hand. I was the guy in the T-shirt and the flip-flops in the summertime. I was that guy. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying anything about that guy, but what I would say is this. There is a personal responsibility as a Catholic, independent of any authority, to say, I'm here, I need to learn more about my faith. And in doing so, you mentioned Church Militant, I've watched Church Militant, Jesse Romero, many, many, many people out there who know a lot more than me. And then what happens is, I'm learning from them. Ooh, we're really not supposed to do that. Oh, I think it'd be a good idea if I did this. Anyway, we want to get into more topics, Paul Nelson. So with that, I'm going to hand it over to Joe Racinello.
I think everything you said, Paul, in terms of can the church do a better job catechizing the laity, I don't think there's anyone that will argue with you. And there are people like yourself, like Joe and I, you know, many people are trying to do just that. I do think, though, the greatest distance in a person is from the head to the heart. You could tell somebody something, but then they have to digest it. And I think when we're talking about ecumenicalism, which is the next subject I want to talk about, it's the same thing. You tell somebody something like, that's Jesus on the in that box, that tabernacle, that's Jesus in there. I tell that to my kids all the time in church. See that? Jesus is in that. But it's one thing to say it. It's one thing to hear it. It's another thing to believe it. How do we believe it? Well, I could say, how did I come to believe it? I was educated in the Catholic faith, and I didn't come to truly understand that till I was an adult. That was through adoration. That was going to confession. You see, you have to avail yourself to Christ. Like, academically, this isn't like a biology class or a chemistry class where you're talking about like pure facts and pure formulas. While that's there, you know what I'm saying? It still doesn't mean the person's going to absorb it. A person has to ultimately repent, go to confession. John the Baptist said that. That's the first thing. Then you got to pray. And then things start happening. Like the head and the heart start connecting. Talk about that. Because I think that's the missing piece there. People aren't like doing the stuff underneath to get to that point. You could tell them all you want. You'd be like, there's Jesus. He's in there. They're like, yeah. Pass the donuts, whatever. Where's the coffee? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, right. But that doesn't mean they're digesting it or will digest it for that matter.
Right. Well, you know, people need to have the desire to get closer to God. There's no doubt about that. And you have to want to participate in the sacraments because it gets you closer to God. And it may help get you to heaven, you know, at the end of your life. Honestly, I don't think a lot of people think too deeply about some of these things. You know, I mean, they go to church on Sunday and they put in their hour. And sadly, you know, they don't think about it until next week, maybe. And maybe they'll skip next week. Your point about you need to want to get closer to God, you know, just like adoration. If you would go to adoration even just once a week, that would be so much better. It would help you so much more because you're quiet. You're not in the this crazy loud world out here being dragged 10 different ways. You know, you're sitting there with God. You're thinking about God. These are the things that help people. But why do people not do these things? You know, like you mentioned, go to confession. I went 30 years without going to confession because I didn't think I needed to. Wow. It was only after I started to recatechize myself and I said, oh my gosh, I can't believe it's been 30 years and I need to go to confession. I mean, I made an appointment. I made a list and I was in there with that priest for a long time, you know, and I couldn't believe it. I was so ashamed of myself. But, you know, these are the things that need to be done, I believe. And, you know, people like you and Joe and Jesse, you know, and myself, I'm trying to, work for the church and for the Lord to bring people to the truth.
You are succeeding, Paul. I mean, you've written books, you're succeeding. I mean, ultimately, like, again, I'll speak from a personal perspective. Things that I agree with you, people don't think deeply about things. People have to see holiness. You see, like, ultimately, it's just something you do. On Sunday, many people are like that. Like, we're Italian. You eat pasta on Sunday, you go to church. It doesn't mean that it means anything. But if you encounter holiness, you're just like, it stops you in your tracks. I can remember going to a missionary, a charity mass, and it's a Novus Ordo mass, by the way. Mm-hmm. And 200 nuns, no pews, on their sitting on the floor. Mm-hmm. You could hear a pin drop. And when they, what's it called, at the consecration, their head hits the floor, bows to the floor. I've never seen anything like that before. You look at those women, their eyes are like on fire. Right. Like, it stops you in your tracks. I don't care.
Joe, Joe, I want to piggyback on that for a second, okay? Because, okay, now that's an example. Again, you're talking about the missionaries of charity, all right? But how about guys like us? I told the story, Paul, to Joe Rusinello, and I mentioned it, and you obviously know Jesse Romero. I'll give you another example of practicing our faith or bearing witness in the public square. I live in Scottsdale now, okay? I moved from New Jersey a couple of months ago. Mm-hmm. I joined Jesse and 300 other Catholics down in front of the Saguaro Hotel. Okay, and we prayed. See, this is where I'm going with this, Paul. So I do have a point to the story. We prayed for 3 hours. Now, I was able to join them one day. Unfortunately, I had to work the Saturday and Sunday. Nonetheless, okay, the Protestant minister who came down, okay, from North Scottsdale, okay, and witnessed what we Catholics are doing, because they were there to pray too, okay? Some Protestants were belligerent, but not this guy, okay? He was blown away by our witness. Why? Because we're great? No. Because what we did was we fought the culture war in that instance, in the spiritual battle in that instance, by praying straight for 3 hours. So you had 300 Catholics out there doing that. Now, why do I bring that up? Because Joe makes a good point. The missionaries of charity, that's super duper, you know, fall on your face and prostrate yourself. But I give the example of praying in front of the Saguaro Hotel, just like Joe Rusinello has a once a month prayer. First Saturdays a month, men's prayer group that goes in front of parishes in Bergen County. These are things that would go a long way to showing rather than telling our Protestant brothers and sisters, oh, we're serious about this. Right. So let me segue after that little diatribe. Let me segue to this. You have involved with a Marian Catechist program, I believe. Okay. Obviously, you know, we need to talk about Our Lady, because Joe and I, we're of the view that we listen to Mary. She said, do what he tells you. Okay. We're the guys at the wedding feast of Cana. Joe and I are Italian. We love red wine. We're the guys at the wedding feast of Cana to say, Mama, we ran out of wine. All right. And she goes to Jesus for us and comes back and then says, do what he tells you.
It's funny you mention that, because that do whatever he tells you. That's the motto of the Marian Catechist Apostolate.
Well, keep going then, Paul, because Joe mentions availing ourselves of the grace of the sacraments. I think that, and I think Joe would agree with me, and you probably will, I suspect, too. The need to start praying for the intercession of Our Lady. All right. Well, to help the Lord help us grow closer to him. Please explain this to our audience at the Veritas Catholic Radio Network.
Yes, I absolutely agree with that. And I'm very much in favor of people doing at least one rosary a day. You know, it's sometimes hard, but it's efficacious. It works. On the Marian Catechist Apostolate, when I was doing all my studying over the years, I felt like I had some holes in my knowledge, you know. So I thought, I'm going to look for a way to study more deeply into the faith. And I came across the Marian Catechist Apostolate. Now, this was started by Father John Harden. I'm sure you know who he is. Mm-hmm. He's up for sainthood, by the way. His cause is undergoing. He was asked by Pope St. John Paul II to develop a course for Mother Teresa's order, and so that they could learn the faith more deeply. And so after that, he turned that into a, Father Harden did, turned it into a an apostolate to teach laity, you know, if they wanted to learn more. And now there are, I don't know how many, but internationally, there are people who have taken the courses, and it's basically like a 2-year course that you can study salvation history and everything else. And you take tests, they give you tests, and you have to pass the tests by a certain amount. And then once you finish it, you go up to La Crosse, Wisconsin, to the Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine in La Crosse, and you go to Mass with Cardinal Raymond Burke, who is now the international director of our apostolate, and he witnesses your consecration to Our Lady, Immaculate Heart, and he gives everybody a blessing afterwards, and we have a celebration, and you do this yearly. You go up and you reconsecrate each year, and then more Marian catechists are added each year, and it's just what a course that is. I recommend that to anybody, and anybody watching thinks it might be expensive. It's not. It's very inexpensive. It's just time consuming. They even put you do a 30-day Ignatian retreat at home, though. You do it at home. And I'll never forget that. You know, I went down in my man cave, and I set up a couple of statues, one of Jesus, one of Mary, and some candles. And I would do my retreat, and 4 or 5 hours a day doing what you needed to do. And then you'd be assigned a spiritual director, a priest, who you spoke with on the phone once a week. And what an experience that was.
It sounds amazing. It really does. One thing I would say is, and that's the thing to learn. That's what we're talking about. Part of what we're talking about restoring our Catholic identity, which is the book that Paul Nelson has written. Okay. Is we need these practical guides, like, what could I do practically to restore my Catholic identity, and then let the Holy Spirit do the rest. But I will say this, and I want to hand it over to Joe. We have limited time, and we definitely love talking to you, Paul Nelson. So we want to get to a couple more questions. But I think that the gist that I got from what you were saying is, with retreats and let's say you put together an area of your home where you have our sacramentals, our image of Jesus, Mary, and everything, it keeps us from all the distraction out there. I think you begin your day with rosary, you're centered. You're centered. You could deal with a lot of the slings and arrows that come at you from the rest of the world. But we want to talk more about other. Let me hand it over to Joe real quick.
In doing research for this interview, maybe you said it, to be honest with you, because I crafted these notes a while ago, but I came across this and I like it. And I'll tell you why. It said, the greatest witness a Catholic can give is to live in the state of grace. Now, what is that? What's the state of grace? You go to confession and you receive the Eucharist. Costs nothing. It's a minimal investment in time. Confession, outside of like you haven't been there in a long time, it's usually a 5-minute deal. You know what I'm saying? And you receive in the state of grace. And that changes everything. Like any person who tells me, I'm bored at Mass, I could immediately say, you don't recognize Christ on the cross, in the tabernacle, because you can't be bored at Mass if you do. And two, when's the last time you went to confession? To live in a state of grace changes everything. If every baptized Catholic who hears my voice does those two things, go to confession once a month and receives on Sunday, your whole life will change and the people around you will change. That's all we have to do. And things will grow from that. I remember when Joe came back to the church and he said, and he went to confession and he's talking to a priest. I remember him telling the story and he said, do I have to join Opus Dei or do I have to? The priest's like, no, go to confession and receive the Eucharist on Sunday.
Wait. What was even better, it was the way he said it. It was an old Irish priest. He said, go to confession. Make sure you stay close to confession. He goes, go to Mass on Sunday. Eat his flesh. drink his blood. I felt like I was in The Exorcist, you know, but it's, to a degree, this was my adult confession. But yeah, he said, stop thinking about joining clubs. Just go to mass, stay close to confession. But go ahead, Paul, because we have limited time, because I want to get to one more question. So the need to stay in a state of grace.
Oh, that's all important. I mean, Joe, you hit it. The nail on the head right there. And I would add one other thing to that. Try to go to adoration if you can, once a week, once every other week. Just try to go, because that will even add to it. That will bring you closer to God.
I will, on a practical note, say this. There is a website, I believe it's CatholicMassTimes.com, that I came across, and you could put in your zip code, and it will give you all of the mass times, confession times, adoration times of all the parishes within a 25-mile radius of that zip code. Why do I say that? Because none of us have an excuse. We could find adoration. You can find adoration. And now in Scottsdale, just happens to be that there's a lot of the parishes have, a couple of parishes at least have perpetual adoration. Some have it once a week. There's no excuse. We should be sitting in front of Jesus. That's something that Joe has mentioned a lot. Paul, we have about 3 minutes. Joe and I started this with the idea that we were going to try to help Catholic men and at the same time help ourselves and grow in authentic Catholic masculinity, okay, and try to raise the consciousness of American men in particular and American Catholic men. So what is the Holy League movement, okay, for men? How can men get involved in it? I'll give you a quick quote from Bishop Olmsted here in Phoenix. He said, men today are confused. They do not know who they really are. In order to be true men, we need to be one with God. I'm of the opinion, Paul, that our enemies, spiritual and political, okay, would get crushed if Catholic men would start acting like Catholic men, particularly in America. I want to throw that over to you for the last 2 or 3 minutes of the show. Paul, are you with us?
Paul, you here?
Yeah, I'm here. I thought you were talking to Joe.
No, I was throwing it over to you, Paul.
Okay. This is something that I know Doug Berry and Cardinal Burke are behind the Holy League. And it's something that I think is a tremendous thing to do. However, I will say I wasn't able to get that started at my own church. I couldn't get any interest at the time. I may try again, but you can get some men of a like mind together to do the rosary, to do adoration. You can even bring in a speaker. You can have your priest should be available for confessions. Just a getting together and a holy time with Catholic men that want to make the world better. And in a nutshell, to me, that's what the Holy League is all about.
Okay, excellent. Joe Racinello, we probably have time for one more question.
Well, I want to just expand upon Olmsted's statement, men are confused. I think he's spot on.
Right.
And I'm going to expand it. Our society is confused. We don't know who we are until we know God. We have to know God to truly understand who we are. We, you know, like the Coming Home Network says this on EWTN, people are hurt and confused. And that's pretty much our American population right now.
Paul, we have about a minute. Joe, I'm sorry, we have about a minute. So piggyback off that, Paul, and tell us your thoughts on that.
Yeah, well, I agree with everything you say about that. Men need to get centered again on God. They need to start getting together with other men of like mind. We need to help teach the faith out there. That's about it. I mean, I can't think of much more.
Iron sharpens iron. Isn't that the way the statement goes? I believe, right? Paul, where can people buy the book and where they can find more about you?
Yeah, you go to my website, ChristiansMustReunite.com. You can order the book through the website and go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Church Militant has it on their book
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you, Paul Nelson. I'm sure we're going to have you back on the show in the future. We want to thank you for coming on the show. It's been a great conversation. I think an enlightening conversation. So
I enjoyed it. Thank you guys so much.
You're welcome, Paul. And I think everybody out there should go out and buy Paul's book, Restoring Our Catholic Identity. We want to thank you all out there for joining us here on the Veritas Catholic Radio Network, 1350 on your AM dial, 103.9 on your FM dial, spreading the truth of the Catholic faith to the New York City metropolitan area. Please be sure to download the Veritas Catholic Network Radio mobile app so that even if you're in Alaska, you could hear Joe and Joe and Father Bishop Caggiano and others at the Veritas Catholic Network. You could download the app. And please, if you would, follow Joe and I on social media, primarily on YouTube at the Frontline TV. The Frontline TV, like, subscribe, share, do all that fun stuff, hit the little bell. And if you'd like to support us, you could support us at thefrontlinetv.com, thefrontlinetv.com. And remember, until the next time, that our conversation is your conversation, and that conversation is going on everywhere. We'll talk to you soon.